Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding that common ground and taking it to whatever level you hope to achieve. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind in order to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. We're all a reflection of source energy. Now, this is a no-holds-barred show. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems. Whether or not you agree with what things are said, I'd ask you to keep an open mind. This way you can see where you can find that common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now today my guest is Carlo Ami. Am I saying that right, Carlo? I think I screwed it up.
No, Ami.
Okay, thank you. I spoke French, so pardon me. Ami, his work is in creating tools to help people awaken themselves, empower themselves, own and practice their own truth rather than what other people or their perceived gods tell them that their truth ought to be. He uses a non-dogmatic approach that's designed to assist clients in finding and practicing their own truth and power. What clients will do is take a simple core idea and play with it for 3 days, editing it as little or as often as they like, based upon the truth of their own hearts. This is done 19 times over a 10-week period. Key elements in the program are humor, silence, and repetition. Practice makes perfect, folks, and this program also includes a private social group for those moving through it at the same time. Now, Carlo does not believe in gurus, and I think we can start off by talking about what it is that makes you not want people to follow gurus that so many people are attached to, including religions.
Well, we've been kind of trained or programmed, if you will, to believe that we have to get our wisdom from outside of ourselves, that it's going to be the next book we read, it's going to be the next seminar we go to or webinar that is going to fix us. And unfortunately, all the New Age media gurus and much of the larger religions basically kind of steer us in a very confusing path. That they're really about creating cognitive dissonance, basically having set us up with conflicting beliefs, and that basically is a way that we get confused and stuck by harboring beliefs that really conflict with each other.
Well, would you agree that there is only ultimate truth, and that so many people purport that their truth is the only truth, and that there are actually many pathways to ultimate truth? But from what I'm hearing as far as your program goes, the beauty of using humor, which I love and use in my books, the beauty of silence, where we can breathe and meditate, and then to practice over and over the principles until we get them down pat. Because without practicing, if you're a concert pianist, your audience is going to know. I've heard it said that the first day, the critics notice, the second day, you notice, and the third day, the audience notices. So what would you have to say about that?
Well, to me, it's not so much about who's noticing what outside of you and how people outside of you might tell you how you should live your life, but it's really about
right.
paying attention to what you're experiencing in your life, you know, the lessons that the universe is throwing at you, and the universe does basically deliver the same kinds of lessons over and over until we get them. Then the question becomes, not is this bad or wrong than what this person's telling me, but, you know, is it working for me to listen to what they're saying? Is it nurturing me, or is it just basically setting me up for further confusion adding more and more words to where there really isn't any more room for words productively? We tend to think that the more we read, the more different gurus that we hear, the more clarity we're going to find. And the bottom line for maybe all of us is that at some point, the more words you throw at an idea, trying to debate it within yourself, you know, is this something that's working for me in my life to believe a certain idea? And, you know, am I being congruent with that to the point where my life is working, or would I be guided to maybe play with some new ways of responding to life that might be more effective?
Well, you and I had a discussion beforehand, and we talked about all the many books that are out there by self-professed gurus, people who make mention that they have the answer. We have the New Agers. We have many different spiritual authors that are coming to the fore now. And a lot of times what we have is a theory that's woven over and over and repeated, but in a very confusing way. You already talked about how the semantics can get very confusing for people instead of relying on their own inner compass. So what would you have to say about that?
Well, you know, from my perspective, virtually every spiritual self-help pop psychology book that might be averaging about 140 pages or more could be shrunk down with the valuable content and be put on a page or four pages in terms of the really truly empowering content. The challenge is that you can't charge $24.95 for pages. So they add filler and oftentimes very contradictory content that either puts people into overwhelm or it throws them into boredom. A study was done a while back that, you know, the average length that people get to in the spiritual psychology self-help bestsellers, the average way that people read them is they get to page 20 and then they drop the book. They never read the rest of the book because they're either overwhelmed, confused, or they're simply in boredom over it. So
now, you work one-on-one with your clients, and I trust that really tailors a program to a person's individual needs because, of course, we're all unique reflections of source energy. Would you speak to that?
Sure. Some of my clients choose to do the program independently. They have a level of self-trust that allows them to move through the program more easily. And the coaching that I do offer is only for the first 3 weeks of the program. The program takes 10 weeks to go through. The coaching in those first few weeks are all about building power and self-trust, such that the remainder of the program, if one has questions, then one takes those questions inside rather than looking to me or anybody else for an answer. You know, what's your answer? Clarify your answer as best you can for yourself, and then practice it in your response to life and the experiences that the universe will show you. So what I basically ask people to do, pardon me?
No, go ahead.
Basically what I ask people to do is do 5 to 15 minutes of reading, which each of the sets, they get a new set of ideas every Monday and Thursday during the program. I ask them to take a core idea, which is something that they can express in 20 seconds or less, and play with that and edit it to fit their own truth, and then notice how the universe will give them feedback as to how that's working for them and their response to their experience. So you take an idea, you go into the silence with it, you notice how you feel, do your best to hush up the chattering mind, which will want to debate and minimize, and then basically play with that simple idea for 3 days. And the universe will give you feedback as long as you remind yourself of that idea and choose to edit it to fit your truth at any time. So it's a very different kind of protocol for discovering your own wisdom and power rather than having me or anybody else tell you what it should be.
So are you basically helping people tap into their own intuition and their higher self?
Yes, that's one way to put it. Their truth and their power. The only truth that we can effectively live is our own. If we're trying to live what somebody else's version of our truth ought to be, then we're not really living our lives. We're living based upon the expectations of other people. So we have these fictional, you know, ideas in our head about how we should live in order to be accepted by other people, maybe about how to avoid going to hell forever, and all kinds of external or apparently external sources that we feel like we have to satisfy in order to be accepted or keep friendships. And it's an avoidance of the self to practice living your life based upon the expectations of an external God or the expectations of people that you call friends or lovers.
What is your perception and understanding of God, Carlo?
There's different labels that over the years, if I were to put a label, which I don't do because there's so many polluted varieties of all the labels. I'm basically a pantheistic Buddhist. If I had to label it, which I don't, generally speaking, I believe that, you know, we all have a divine nature. We all have a connected nature that we haven't learned how to realize or appreciate yet. I think the Buddhists have it really right in terms of one of the central tenets of Buddhism that I think is extremely important for sharing in my perception now, and that is that, you know, the great embrace of our harmonious nature is not so much about learning all kinds of new things. It's about letting go of all the stuff in your life that doesn't really work for you. All the attachments to having to have things that you don't have, all the needs that's perceived to have more in your life of what you want and less in your life of what you don't want, so that people basically end up constantly being at war with themselves.
Well, you've said some important things in this exchange, in the previous exchange. One of the things I wanted to comment on, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I was once told by a very wise person that a warning sign for me should be to turn away from people who would manipulate or should on me, tell me I should do this or should do that, or give me unsolicited advice that I've not sought out, and that what would be, and there's a should, but that's part of our language, and it was framed in the form of a suggestion, not a should. The contrary, or the recommended suggestion, was to turn towards anything that was nurturing or comforting, like the love of a mother's arms. What is your feeling about that?
Well, in terms of the first part of what you expressed, the way that I like to say it is that if someone is disrespecting, abusing, manipulating, or deceiving you, then the highest form of response, in many cases, the most loving response, is to disengage your attention and support other than love. You can love the person, but you can wish them a nice day, truly mean that, and then walk away, as opposed to playing the game or allowing your energy to be depleted. And there are exceptions to that, as if one looks at that as a general rule. Of course there's exceptions. you know, our children can be really challenging to deal with sometimes. Our aging elders and people who are mentally ill can be challenging to us. And, you know, if we recognize that the highest form of response to them can sometimes to be with them exactly as they are, then that's beautiful. But for those that don't fit into those three categories or something else that might be specific to you, then, you know, to hang around with people who are not being genuine with you, who are looking to manipulate, abuse, deceive, or disrespect you, basically sucks your energy, and it builds the apparent power of those who would choose to be abusive to you.
Well, there's one more thing that I wanted to comment on and have you reflect on, and that was the notion of attachment. Because so many people do attach themselves to people, places, and things outside of themselves that they feel that they need, whereas they really are wants, and they're quite often selfishly motivated and not necessarily serving their own good, and that they do not serve others as well. And I think that it's very important that we come to a place where we're living in harmony with one another, and that we are freely exchanging, giving and receiving, because we are spiritual beings, and that's the nature of spirit, is to be loving. And love is a simple gift. It is the best gift, and it brings with it an abundance of other qualities like joy, harmony, peace, prosperity, and on and on and on and on. And when I can detach from my attachments, yes, I send off rockets of desire, like Esther Hicks says, of dreams that I have. But I need to focus on the present moment. I need to be aligned with my gratitude for where I'm at today. I need to embrace my past, even those things that I judged as bad. And I like what you say about that duality of good and bad, that it's important to get away from judging things, because it's all part of bringing me to my state of being today. And today I am a creator as God is. And people will call it co-creation, but I am a creator, and I use my imagination and powers of visualization to shape my destiny, because I'm the master of my fate. And I don't even believe in fate. I use free will. I'm responsible for my own decisions, and I choose each step of the way, and I clean up my mess. And as long as I follow something like the golden rule and do unto others as I'd have them do unto me, I have no mess to clean up.
Yes, in the last couple of minutes, you hit on two of the early parts of the program that have to do with building power, that are central to the kind of things I like to share. Let's back up for a moment to the idea of the rockets of desire that you mentioned, words from Esther Hicks. You know, the whole Abraham Hicks material, there's a lot of beauty and value in it. And following their wisdom and their guidance may be a perfect path for some. All I can do is offer people starting points for discovering their truth. So from this perspective, and again, not to make anybody else bad or wrong, from this perspective, the intent is to release all desire. Because as long as we're in desire, we are basically saying, now is not good enough. And when I'm focused on need, I'm basically refusing the lesson of whatever the present teacher might be. I'm not able to be present if I'm in desire. And that's the real challenge point for me in the whole New Age way of thinking, in terms of how much of it is presented. Because the New Age is based on two diametrically opposing ideas. The first idea is beautiful. Be here now. The second aspect that is really a central aspect of the New Age movement is focus on what you want. Well,
yeah.
That creates cognitive dissonance, because you cannot be present while focusing on what you want. It's not possible. The whole key to intention, and I'm giving away one of the elements of the program here that I ask people to play with for 3 days. The whole idea of intention, from this perspective that I like to share with people, is the idea that the empowering element of setting intention is basically setting an intention and letting it go, as opposed to focusing on it, visualizing about it, saying it over and over again what you want. It's set the intention, what you would like to create, and then let it go, knowing and trusting that no matter whether you have the intention manifested or not, that you're okay.
Yes.
If you leave that element of intention out, then intention simply becomes a form of creating frustration within yourself.
Well, I can't disagree with any of that. And you've raised my level of awareness in that I am seeing where I have attached myself to some of my dreams and to not stay present to the moment. As you say, you can't exist in two places at the same time. When you have a desire for the future, it's a form of projection. And at that point in time, I'm not present to the moment. So thank you for clarifying that for me. I'm wondering if now might be a good time to move into some calls, but first I'd like you to put forth your website and how people can get in touch with you.
Sure. It's simpleawakeningtools.com.
Okay. That's easy. Are you ready to take a call?
I'd be happy to.
Great. We have Sherelle on the line. Sherelle has called in before, and Sherelle was interested if you were psychic, and I think that we all have that potential. So, Sherelle, you're on the line with Flo. Say hello.
Hi.
Hi, Sherelle.
Hi,
Sherelle.
Hi, how are you? Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. Same to you. And I don't like to put the psychic label on myself.
There are many
people who are good and gift at it, and there's a whole lot more that from my perception, like to pretend or are convinced that they are something that they're not.
Right.
For me, the value in being able to tune into wisdom is to tune into one's own.
Yeah, because I wanted to comment on what you all was talking about.
Well, go ahead, sure.
Okay. Now, as you were saying that people can develop their own gifts and their own talent as an intuition, I meditate every day. I try to tap into my own intuition. I manifest. I try to ask the angels, God, or whatever to help bring me my own answers of what I'd be looking for, but I don't seem to understand how does my messages or how do I perceive or receive my or get my answers that I'm looking for within my questions.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last part. Could you say that last part just one more time? I didn't quite catch what you were saying there.
No, so I'll be trying to ask, I try to manifest what I want. I try to tap in my own intuition. I'll be going on Google, how to tap in, how to do this, how to do that. Mm-hmm. I meditate mostly every day. And it's hard trying to find the answers you're looking for within your own questions. Like, as you would say, like the gut feeling, or I don't get that at all. So it's kind of hard.
Well, I guess the question becomes, let me put it this way. Although this sounds very strange to some people, for me there's a lot of wisdom and guidance that may come if you basically take things in the form of a question. In other words, if you're looking to trust one aspect of yourself more, or you have an idea about something that might be helpful to you, to state that in a question in a positive sense. Would it serve me to focus more of my attention and focus on this or whatever it happens to be? And then close your eyes, hush up your head, and notice how you feel. Because if you're feeling lighter and there's a little bit of a feeling of let go, you'll get a bodily signal that, hey, that's something that I might want to pay more attention to. You'll know then when the words come in, whether it's your egoic chatterbox self Or you'll know whether the idea is a tuned-in idea that you can play more deeply with.
And that's what I've been doing lately,
too. We tend to know the difference if we can hush ourselves.
Yeah, hush up your mind. Like when you sitting out meditating and your mind just going different or just spinning. And when you just sit down and try to just perceive the information as it comes in, it's, you know.
As opposed to debating it in your head, Sherelle, what we tend to do when we get an inspirational idea is that it's like the little angel on one shoulder and the little devil on the other shoulder, where it's like, well, is that a good idea or is that a bad idea? Is that
right.
Something that I ought to do, or will my friends judge me for it if I do it? Oh, will God damn me for it, or whatever. So, you know, people tend to go into inner debate when there might be a potentially beautiful idea that's sitting right in front of them about whether it might be a good idea to play with that idea.
Right. Okay. Because I did different, you know, videos or, you know, I bought the John Holland video, How to Tap Into Your Own Abilities. And I tried that. That didn't work. Like, play with other people, like, you know, sit and have a, like, whiteboard and see if people auras and all that other stuff. Like, do you believe in the clairs, like the clairaudience, clairvoyance? You don't believe in that stuff either?
Oh, I do, and I've had some friends that are clairaudient and clairvoyant. I know some people that have that gift, and sometimes that gift is a real challenge because they're in the middle of a big room and they're hearing every thought that's happening in that room. So most people that are clairaudient, they don't tend to be going to parties and being too social because it can send them into overwhelm. They tend to be more isolated most of the time.
You know, maybe this would be a good time, and
right.
Sherelle, certainly, if you have more questions, I'll give you the opportunity for that. But Carlo has told me that he's making a special offer to whoever is listening, the first 20 listeners. And Carlo, maybe you would put forward exactly what the components of your program are.
Yeah, mention your website one more time for me too.
SimpleAwakeningTools.com.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Basically, the program entails getting an idea, what I call idea sets. We get one idea set every Monday and Thursday during the program, and the program lasts 10 weeks. You basically do 5 to 15 minutes of reading with each set, and then you take a core idea and you play with it for 3 days, noticing how it works for you during those 3 days and editing that short idea that you can say in 20 seconds or less, and edited that idea to fit your truth and notice how the universe will give you feedback in the form of your experience, opportunities to see whether this idea is working for you or whether it's an idea that you might change a little bit or maybe even a lot in order for you to get more clarity on your truth. So
how much time is involved in that, Carlo, during the course of the 10 weeks?
During the first 3 weeks, I asked people to spend a total of about 4 hours in the first week. And again, that's spread way out. It's a matter of taking, you know, brief reminders and such, where you remind yourself of the core idea. Basically 4 hours in the first 3 weeks, each of the first 3 weeks. And then after that, as little as an hour per week of direct focus time on the program. It's really about taking that simple idea or core idea and taking it into your life and then being aware of how the universe is offering feedback in the form of your experience as to whether that idea is working for you or not.
So you're talking about perhaps 35 to 40 minutes a day, which would be a typical meditation session.
Yeah, in the first 3 weeks. And then after that, much less if people are so inclined. If they want to remind themselves more frequently, that's fine. But basically, the caveat for the whole program is, you know, use this program as you're guided. I'll make suggestions, but go by your inner guidance and trust that you know the difference between inner guidance and ego avoidance guidance. Okay. So the other aspects of the program, to answer your question, David, the other aspects are a private social group for people going through the program at the same time. That's on my site. It's not a Facebook site or any kind of a popular site. It's right on my website. And that's included with the group, so you can make connections with people going through the program at the same time. And for the first 20 that call in to register for the program that starts on Thursday, I'm also including 90 minutes of one-on-one coaching via Skype during the first 3 weeks of the program. Basically, six 15-minute sessions with me on Skype to help you with the power-building part of the program. After that's over, my request is that people look inside themselves for their guidance. Look to the inner coach that you can trust.
Is there any kind of follow-up work that can come after the program with you, Carlo? And is I don't know if you want to put forward what the special offer price is, but you're certainly welcome to do that.
I'm happy to do that, David. The price of the program is $207, and that includes the 19 idea sets, the social program, and for the first 20, it includes the 90 minutes of coaching. You know, it's something where, you know, if people decide after the first week that this isn't a fit for them, after they get the second program primer and the first two idea sets, all they have to do is call me up before they get the third one, and I'll refund their money if they decide the program's not for them. So there's no risk involved to get the first part of the program, which includes what I see as four of the seven foundations of power, as I have defined them. Basically, for me, there's simple foundations of power that run pretty much diametrically opposed to what society tells you about how to be powerful. And as you practice those over the first few weeks of the program, then going in and finding your inner guidance rather than relying to someone outside yourself for it, it becomes easier and easier to trust yourself.
So as far as your guidance goes, in essence, a client of yours is getting an hour and a half of personal one-on-one coaching for what a therapist might charge for 1 hour, and it's individualized, and it involves a commitment, as I understand it, from your participants to do work on their own, which quite often is not a component of therapy and does not drive the point home. Talk about some of the key elements in your program as being humor, silence, and repetition. And Sherelle, we'll come back to you in a moment. Would you talk about the benefits of those and how you incorporate those into your program?
Well, in terms of laughter and humor, maybe the greatest gift in humor is it brings us into the present moment. If we can find humor in something that's been challenging to us and look at it from a different perspective, and being able to laugh at some of the things that we've done in the past that were really difficult, as you know, there's all kinds of ways that laughter brings us into the present moment. Silence, from my perspective, there's no real substitute for learning how to quiet the mind. You know, the mind wants to keep on its ongoing debate, ongoing not enoughness, ongoing battle for false power and the substitutes for power that tend to be temporary, anemic, and destructive, if we're talking about the false kinds of love and power. And we've been kind of conditioned to settle for those because many of us have thought, geez, I don't know if I'll ever get the real thing. I might as well have this quick gratification or this pretend kind of love as opposed to the real thing. So silence and power, and then silence and laughter are important. And then the other one that's big is finding ways to remind yourself about what's important to you. And with the program, that boils down to what I call the core ideas, the very brief ideas that you play with, each one for 3 days, as a way of finding your truth. So those are the central aspects of the program, David.
I see. Well, what what kinds of power can a person expect to achieve as a result of the program?
Well, maybe the greatest power is learning how to trust one's inner guidance, and that doesn't happen as something that you just get out of a book or a few inspirational words. The power that we're talking about is genuine power, and all genuine power as we would practice it in our life, from my perspective, is always based in love. It's never based in the power to manipulate somebody. That's false power. The power to abuse or to make somebody feel sorry for you. I mean, those are all false brands of power. If you can get somebody to pity you, well, you know, that's what some people like. And sooner or later they get fed up with it. In this lifetime or another, they get fed up enough with playing that game. So, you know, they let it go. I don't look at different varieties of power. To me, power is that which is based in love in terms of how we are living our lives. And as Martin Luther King observed back in the 60s, you know, people tend to be confused about what power and love are. People confuse them quite a bit, and so does our society and the institutions that would like to control us. King said that, you know, power without love is reckless and abusive, and love without power is sentimental and anemic. And we're here to learn that all true power is based in love. That's a central aspect of what the program is about. So if people are looking at the program with the idea that it will bring them more love and sex and a larger bank account, well, that's not what this program's about. It's about basically genuine love that has to do with not only trusting yourself, but trusting that we're connected with each other in a way that the egoic mind basically refuses to understand. Because to understand, it means the end of the ego. Ego is something that only appears to exist as we feed it, when we feed it with unproductive thoughts and action.
Absolutely, and ego is not at all aligned with our souls. We seem to have lost Sherelle, but we do have another caller. If we can move on, we'll take area code 864. I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to speak to you before the show, but you are now live on the air with Carlo Ami.
Hello,
who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Omaria.
Omaria, how are you? I love your name.
Thank you.
Yes.
I just tuned into the show maybe about 10 or 15 minutes ago, and I was just listening. I didn't have any questions right now.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Aria. I'm going to leave your mic live, all right?
Okay.
And that way, if you do have a question, feel free to jump in. Don't worry about talking over us, okay? And I'm certainly grateful that you've called in today, as I trust Carlo is. And if you have any questions about the program or any questions or concerns about your current life as it's working or not working, that might be a good starting point. Does that inspire you to ask a question now, or would you like to hold off?
Let me hold off for another moment.
Okay, very good.
Then let me extend the point that we were just talking about a little bit. This is something that I ask people to kind of play with this idea on their own, maybe write down something in the way of their truth about this simple idea, and that is basically the way that we're going to dissolve the major challenges that are coming from all our institutions that basically do the opposite of what they tell us they're doing is the same way that we disengage from the egoic mind, exactly the same. It's not about fighting any external entities. It's not about resistance of any kind. Ego and institution are basically dissolved in exactly the same way, and that's by removing all attention and support other than love from them. You wish them the best, you wish them love, and you disengage your attention and support from that which sucks your energy.
Well, earlier we were talking about religion and how there's a lot of control and fear perpetrated by that. I've heard it said there are just two states. There's a mystic Jesuit by the name of Anthony DeMello, who died in the late 80s, who proposed basically the same thing the Course in Miracles does, and that is there's only love or fear, and anything that's not love-based stems from fear. Likewise, the ego is the place that makes us feel insecure and fearful, as opposed to spirit, which is love. Would you like to speak to that?
Yes, and I loved a lot of DeMello's work. Many years ago, I read a number of his books. Basically, fear is generated by conditioned thinking and by institutions and by people who would like to control you or abuse you. You know, there's all kinds of different ways to say it, and I wouldn't make anybody that disagrees with me wrong. And the whole idea behind all the big religions, and I don't consider Buddhism a religion because there's no damning God involved. All the big religions do the exact opposite of what they suggest that they would be doing for us. And this is my truth. I'm not interested in debating anyone on this. But basically, while they say that they are spiritually nurturing us and unifying us, they basically are dividing us against each other. They're loading us with guilt, and they're making all kinds of things that are natural pleasures be labeled as evil and something that might get you thrown into hell. To me, it's just really sad that situation exists and that so many religions could have a schizophrenic God, and their God is schizophrenic simply because, you know, there's no such thing as an all-loving God who would damn anybody to eternal torture. It just doesn't make any sense.
No.
So religion is designed to divide and confuse people.
it reeks of judgment. And where does it reeks of conditions attached to love? And of course, we all want to be loved for who we are unconditionally. And so many of us, for whatever reason, come from dysfunctional backgrounds where those needs were not met for us as children. And so, in a sense, we need to repair in ourselves. Do you believe in the power of affirmation? And if so, how does that fit into your program?
I think affirmation for many, many people that make use of it exacerbates the problem because they're basically telling themselves they don't believe it while they're telling themselves that they do. So many people use affirmations, you know, in such a way that when they allow the ego to speak, the ego is speaking much of the time and it's saying, this is a bunch of hooey. This is probably not going to work, but if I say it enough times, maybe it'll work. So I'm going to keep on affirming this thing that I don't believe at all.
Interesting. Well, you know, you're the first person I've heard that has put that forth, and it resonates for me. Thank you. I feel like a light bulb's going off in my head. you know, as you were talking about some of the schizophrenia of other religions, and I'm not going to identify or take issue with any because I believe everybody has their own path to follow and that there are truths that can be discerned from any religion. This is my suggestion to people, take it or leave it. If it speaks to you of love, take it. If it inspires fear, leave it. And if the God you have is not working for you, fire that God and find a new one. Because the universe is benevolent. It's benevolent and only wishes the best for us. Go ahead.
As we trust it.
As we trust it, and we need to trust ourselves.
Yeah. The other brief thing about religion that I'd like to share is the idea that virtually all the big religions subjugate women. And, you know, they have to sit in a different place at the synagogue, and they have to wear hats if they're in, you know, a Christian church. And basically, they can't take positions of responsibility and clergy if they're a woman. And to me, this is really a sad thing. What about the divine
feminine? Well, you also talked about guilt, and please remember the point you were going to make. Because we're not in an actual studio, it's sometimes hard to tell when the other person has finished a thought or not. But what I was going to say is that guilt quite often turns into shame, and shame is so toxic. And it almost seems to me that the word sin implies shame, whereas the Aramaic translation, or translation from Aramaic, is simply missing the mark, which can be a lesson learned for any of us, that we don't need to be ashamed about anything, that we recognize we've always done the best that we could with what we had at the time, but that does not preclude us from doing better.
Well, you know, basically what it boils down to from this perspective, based on what you said, was that most religion is basically promulgated on fear. We're afraid of two basic situations. Number one, fear that we could be thrown into hell forever. And, you know, I asked years ago, you know, well, let me put it this way. People that are really into the big religions are either afraid of God, or they're afraid that they'll be rejected by their family and their neighbors and their friends if they maybe skip church or stop going altogether. Then they're afraid of rejection by their peers, and that's maybe the most powerful reason why religions are still as big as they are.
Yeah. I agree. What was the point you wanted to make before? Do you recall?
Well, I think I'd completed it. We were talking about guilt, and you know, we have all kinds of guilt thrown on us about, you know, natural pleasures, and, you know, supposedly that, you know, for some religions, natural birth control is against the rules, and enjoying sex too much is against the rules, and you know, taking appreciation in natural plant medicines to calm us as opposed to drugs, that's against the rules. And so the design of many of our institutions are set up to withhold from us things that might help us evolve more calmly and smoothly.
Yes. Alaria, would you like to jump in?
No, I'm still listening. I'm enjoying the conversation, and it is ringing a bell with me with some of the things that you all are saying, and I appreciate that.
What's resonating for you? I would like to find out what the common ground is for you. That's always a great place to start.
One point with the religions and subjugating women and not honoring the divine feminine, and honoring that we have masculine and feminine energies, and that both need to be involved. That really resonates with me.
Yeah,
too.
I think men are on this planet, and men, no matter what their sexual practice, you know, either way, they're taking the masculine role. Basically, are here to learn from the feminine, and the feminine has some things that they can learn from the masculine. So I wouldn't place one above the other as being more important. For me,
exactly.
We all have things to learn from each other.
Yes.
Well, I think that, don't you, I'm stumbling around here searching for the words that I want to use, which are not necessarily right or wrong. I'm just thinking in terms of being non-judgmental, and I really like the idea that we align with our own truth, that we embrace the totality of who we are as we are one with Source and, in essence, connected to each other.
that nobody is an island, no man or no woman, and that we're all in it together. And until we recognize that and wake up to that, it seems that there will be no peace. And I reject the notion that we will not see peace in our lifetime, but it's going to take a lot of work from a lot of committed individuals, and it all starts at an individual level. Don't you agree, or don't you?
Yes, and basically, how I view life, for the most part, is an opportunity to get fed up with all the things that aren't working for us, and to get fed up with responding to life in ways that have not been effective. So I think that's a crucial element. And to take a step back in the conversation, it reminded me of something that George Carlin said a while back that just constantly amuses me still. And again, it's humor without meaning to attack anybody. But he said he had it figured out, the challenge between the sexes. He could state the challenge in 7 words. Men are stupid and women are crazy. and you know, it's something that there's definitely some wisdom in something that sounds like a pretty heavy judgment. There's beauty in playing with that idea, and my whole work is about playing with short ideas.
Well, let me interject a little humor, and this is all tongue in cheek, and that is, I'm right and you're wrong. How do you like that? I have a friend who is very ego-based, and that's a judgment, but, you know, I see these things. I perceive things through my own lens, and I have to be careful because quite often I'm taking on somebody else's shit instead of looking at my own. But this person is very funny and very humorous, and that's where I make a connection with this person. However, I believe he truly believes that to be true. And I didn't take it that way. I just thought it was... I know. Absolutely. Absolutely.
As long as
well,
I'm invested
we have,
in somebody having
about... Right. We have no other callers. We have about 6 minutes left. And again, Ilaria, if you want to jump in, feel free. I'm wondering if there are any final points that you want to make in the remaining 6 minutes. Please feel free. This is your podium.
I guess one aspect that that is important to me to share at the moment is the idea that as long as I'm invested in needing to convince any other person about a truth, then I'm not only depleting my own energy, but I'm building resistance on the part of the person that I'm trying to resist, and that also is a drain on collective consciousness.
Yes.
We let people be who they are, and if being around them isn't working for us, we wish them a nice day, and we say goodbye.
Well, you give me a good dose of my own medicine, because I can get up on my soapbox now and then, and I need to be connected to other people who can remind me that I can still go into an ego place, because I am a human who is still learning, and I believe that... Well, there we go. I'm not going to put forward what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Well, it's the people that tell you they have it all figured out and they have all the solutions for all your problems. Those are the people that I tend to walk a little quicker away from. You know, as long as somebody has a need for me to change what my truth is, or they're going to make the friendship we have conditional upon my agreeing with them about something, it's the universe offering me a great opportunity to get that person out of my life, whether it's for 2 minutes or for longer. And, of course, the ego wants to figure it all out right away. Do I leave this person for good, or should it be for 5 minutes and let them cool off? And then you get into the inner head debate again. So it can be a little bit mind-numbing sometimes.
Well, it seems a little bit controlling, and that if somebody comes into your life who wants to fix you, that would be a good sign to head in another direction.
Yes, yes. And people are afraid oftentimes to disengage because they think they might lose their friendships, or they might lose the the connection they have with their family, or they'll get some sneers out on the street from people that didn't see them at Mass last Sunday. So, you know, there's all kinds of different ways that people run their lives, but most people run their lives based upon the expectations of their perceived God or how their friends might respond.
Well, let me ask you a question on that note. You've talked about what I would call the principle of detaching with love and blessing people and sending them on their way when they abuse you in some manner or try to manipulate you. What I'm wondering is how you could speak to people that are in toxic situations that are perceived as toxic within their own family, because you talked about the fear of rejection and abandonment, how that can strike a real people. What would you say to somebody that is in an abusive marriage or that has a parent that's abused them and maybe healed some but still represents a point that takes their inner child into a place of fear and not feeling safe?
Well, as a general idea, and I would handle it different with each different person I'm talking with based upon what I hear, but in a general way, I'd ask them to spend at least a few days first with the idea of practicing their ability to quiet their mind. And when they can get up to the point where they can hush up the mind for at least a couple of minutes, then ask themselves, maybe direct the question to the heart, you know, would it serve the higher good of all concerned for me to disengage from my relationship with whatever the person's name is? And then close your eyes, hush up your head, and notice how you feel. This is noticing how we feel in response to potentially inspirational ideas is a major gateway. It's another tool of intuition or a facet of intuition to basically be aware of one's feelings, especially when they have to do with a situation that's right in front of you or a potentially inspirational idea that you can express briefly. Ask the question, hush up your head, and notice how you feel, and let yourself be guided by that. Many people
I find it best. Go ahead. We can run over the hour. I was just going to say that as you were talking, you're very much resonating with me, and I've heard some people say, if it makes you feel good, go there. If it makes you feel bad, don't go there. I like to think in terms of, does it uplift me or does it take me down?
Yeah, and there's all kinds of immediate gratification tools out there, from alcohol to drugs, that make you feel good right away, but then it drops you like a bomb and you feel less self-esteem and less good about yourself than you did before that happened. Sometime back, there was a friend that I saw maybe once every year or two, and every time I saw him, he would basically start talking about how terrible his wife was. And I said, you know, if it's really that bad, why don't you just leave? And his response really hit me. It was, well, you know, I might end up with something worse. And that's a sad state of affairs, because that's a lot
it
of how
sad.
Many people live their lives.
Yes. Well, that to me speaks of getting trapped in a victim cycle where history repeats itself, and it's not necessary if you break free. And this is my opinion, right or wrong. It's not necessary if you break free and embrace your own truth, take care of yourself, and do no harm to others. What role does forgiveness play in your program, particularly if it comes to having to detach from somebody and bless them on their way?
Well, so many people confuse the idea of forgiveness with condoning a destructive action, and they're two different things. The refusal to forgive is pretty much a cancer in our world, I've had several coaching sessions over the years where basically when I suggested the possibility of forgiving someone's former spouse or lover, the response was, well, you know, what they did to me was just too bad to ever forgive. And it's kind of like saying, well, you know, I'm going to keep this poison in me and, you know, expect them to be impacted by it somehow. And when one forgives, one is, more than anything else, raising their own vibration and lightening their own load as opposed to having any effect on anybody else necessarily.
Yeah. Well,
it's the big one for me is basically what they call justifiable resentment. You know, that they can justify feeling really, really terrible about a situation and withholding forgiveness, and they justify that by the supposed severity of the misdeed.
Well, what's happened to me when I've done that in my life is it's held me back and also served as a trigger to other individuals who are similar. I'm not always aware of the source that I need to get honest with and let go of in order to not find myself in that situation again.
Yes. When we are harboring resentment, we tend to attract to us other people who are harboring resentments, and they can be our teachers, too, to help us see how ridiculous it is to hold on to resentment.
Well, that all comes down to that vibrational stuff that you talked of. And, you know, I think that's a very interesting point. A little while ago, I took you off in a slightly different direction when I had asked if there were any closing points you want to make. I'm going to turn it over to you at this point, and I will not reflect on what you have to say, but I would like you to put forward whatever you want to at this point in time, and then I'll give Ilaria a chance to comment if she wants to, and then we'll close the show.
Great. What I like to share with people is the idea that I'm not looking to sell anything to anyone. What I'm looking to do is to touch as many receptive hearts as I can with this work. So my request, if you resonate with what we've talked about here today, would be for you to take a look at the Is This For You menu tab at the top of the website and play with that a little bit and get an idea as to whether or not you might benefit from what I have to share with people. I do this without any kind of sense of arrogance or superiority. I don't see myself as superior to anyone, and I don't see myself as inferior to anyone. I think the whole gist of what I'm trying to share with people is basically, you know, here's some ideas you can use to learn how to more effectively trust your own power. That nobody outside of yourself is in a position to enlighten or awaken you. You get to do it yourself. And if you throw too many ideas at yourself in sitting down with a book or going to a three-day seminar, you're just getting constant ideas thrown at you when you do that. You're not really able to be impacted on any lasting way most of the time. What inspirational ideas you might find are best followed by some silence and tuning into your own feelings and learning over time to more and more effectively and easily trust your own power. So that pretty much says what I'd like to express. And for the people listening to the show, you know, the first 20 who register for the program that starts this Thursday, I will be including six 15-minute sessions on Skype to help you through the power-building phase of the program. And I really appreciate you having me on today, David.
Oh, you're welcome. I do have one follow-up question, not a comment, and that is, do you or would you extend this offer for a future point in time when you might start up the program again?
The next program will start, I believe it's the 25th of January. And that's the last time I'll be doing coaching unless I get that that's something that that is important for me to offer people. And at that point, it'll be a matter of bringing in some other coaches and such, because my time won't allow for a whole lot of that. So I'm only offering it in these first two groups at this stage. I may offer it after that, but I'm not promising anything at this stage.
Well, the reason I ask that is because we're going to have people listening to this podcast for the next couple of weeks. So if indeed you're offering on January 25th, for somebody that hears this after this Thursday, that would give them an opportunity as well.
Absolutely. And I can only do that for the first 20 because I'm not delegating that to anybody else. I'm doing that coaching myself.
I understand that. Well, thank you very much for being with us today. Ilaria, do you have any final words of wisdom, comments, or questions for Carlo?
I just would like to say thank you to both of you. I really enjoyed the show. Carlo, may I have your website again, please?
Sure. It's simpleawakeningtools.com.
Okay. All right. I'll be going on the website to go to, I believe it's for me right now, but I'll be going to the questions to see if it's for me, and hopefully I'll see you on Thursday or the 25th.
Wonderful. And trust your heart on which way to go.
And I would like to put forward one more time to those people that may have tuned in late that what Carlo is offering is intensive 6 15-minute one-on-one coaching sessions via Skype, and that is only for the next two sessions beginning this Thursday the 8th, I believe, or on January 25th. And then he has ideas that people work on over the course of 10 weeks. The commitment or the suggested amount of time to work on those sets is 4 hours a week for the first 3 weeks, is that correct? And then afterwards about an hour a week?
Right.
And what kinds of materials do they receive from you, Carlo?
Well, there are the 19 idea sets that make up the program itself, and there's a primer, a second primer that's included that people get after they register. And then the 20th idea set is basically a resource guide for people to pick and choose through different resources that are not well-known and not widely shared at this stage about basically staying on the path. And different resources to help smooth the path. The rest of the program involves the social group. That's a private social group for people going through the program at the same time.
Great. Well, thank you again, Carlo. And I would love to have you back on the air when I go into AM/FM radio, which will reach a larger audience. So you can consider that offer out there. What I would suggest you do is follow up with me by email or with my private telephone number in 3 to 6 months, and we can see where I'm at. I am aligning with Brenda Pierce, who has eFactor Radio, eFactorLive.com. She is aligning with the actress Dee Wallace, who has a radio program, and with one other prominent radio host. So that's a direction I'm going to head, just to give you a heads up. And I wish you well.
Good luck with all that, my friend.
Thank you so much. And I wish you well with your program. And I do hope that people that are listening to this show will realize that this is not an infomercial. This is an opportunity for you to get in touch with your own truth and to reject the need for a guru or a religion, but to connect with Source, as I understand it. So thank you so much, Carlo.
Yes, and people can feel free to get in touch with me, set up a Skype conversation before they register if they like. There's a form on the Is This For You page that lets them connect with me to set up a Skype conversation if they have any questions before they register.
Great.
Thank you so much, David. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with your audience.
You're welcome. And with that said, we now come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week. And remember, you have all power with you. Thank you.
All right. Send in love. Bye-bye.
Right.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.